Welcome to the Friendly Aussie Podcast.
G'day, Fab Gang. Welcome to the Friendly Aussie Podcast. Today we have Mr. Bluntfield.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. For those that don't know, Bluntfield is a mad 420 activist that is a rapper. You have a label.
Yeah.
What else do you do? You do a few things.
In WA, we'd run the annual Chronic Fest events, which were on April 20th. And that was like live music, comedy, burlesque, just all different styles, but all people representing cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you moved from Western Australia to Brisbane this year?
2021. Actually, like during the pandemic, like WA was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Queensland seemed like, okay, they're still like moving and doing stuff. And
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It just went through like that.
Okay, so what is happening in Brisbane now?
Well, there's a ganja march on this Friday in the city. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So the ganja army coming up. So that'll be good to check out.
Yep.
yeah, I've just smoked as well. I'm just like, fuck, I'm actually pretty fucking high right now.
We just hit the old Caroma with the Britney's frozen lemons. Some good stuff. Some good stuff.
Very smooth.
Very, very, very smooth. So, rapping. You chose to go into a life of rap. What got you into 420 and a life of rap? Like, how did... I know they're very connected, but how did it happen for you?
Well, I guess, like, hip-hop's, like, the art of language and communicating and speaking in that. And I guess a lot of hip-hop producers were smoking and stuff when they made their beats and were inspired by that. So I feel like cannabis and music and cannabis and hip-hop are pretty intertwined. And, yeah, it was really just, like, performing and just doing freestyles with mates and stuff. And then it just kind of grew from there. So, again, just the art of just literally talking shit in rhyme form. And then doing shows and, yeah, representing 420.
So when did you do your first show?
Also, the first time I was on stage was Hobson, the American rapper, had came and
Hobson.
Like, yeah, yeah. So yeah. He was doing a tour and he invited three people up on stage and I hadn't like done anything at that point, just like drunk freestyles at parties and shit. So I was like, fuck it, put my hand up. And he was like, you with the dreadlocks, get up there. And I was like, all right, cool. Went on stage, I was like, fuck, I don't have like a single thing written. Like, what am I going to do? I'm just like staring out in the crowd and some dude's just staring at me back. And I'm just like really high as well. Just like trying to like, all right. And just kind of pushed through it, did a freestyle, ended up like winning it. And then that was just like a taste of, okay, if you just fucking do it, like
there's
shit will happen.
That, yeah.
And yeah, just kind of went from there.
So how old were you when you did that one?
Like 23.
Okay. Yeah. So like you didn't decide to like go into like a rap career until like your 20s really.
Yeah. Like I was like a fan of hip hop, but it didn't seem like a feasible like thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was more interested in like filmmaking. And so I was in like film school and stuff. And like, that's what I kind of wanted to do first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you go to uni? Did you go to TAFE?
Yeah. TAFE. And then, then as I kind of smoked more and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know when you get that period where you're smoking heaps and I was just like, oh, I'll come back to filmmaking.
Yeah. And you then, never quite... I started smoking at uni. I went to TAFE for a year first and I didn't really smoke then. I was like pretty clear and I did web development. Then I went to uni after and it was in my second semester. My dad went away to Europe for like 2 months and I was like, I think it's time. I think it's time I bought a bag and I bought my first bag. I bought my first Q. And I definitely failed two subjects that semester and I didn't fucking pay attention. I was just like, no, I get to live for a moment here. And but like that kind of marked the upward incline into cannabis for me. Like I guess that was like one of my moments. So when did cannabis kind of come into your life since...
I guess, when I, so after I finished year 12, I had tried it like a couple times, but it wasn't really like, I was just like, did it like, oh yeah, it was cool. But when I got back from Canada, when I was 18, it just, I don't know, it just kind of called to me and I had another mate, Ash, and he had the same kind of feeling like, hey, do you just want to, you know, start like searching for some plants? I'm like, why not? Like, and then it just kind of grew and built from there. So I guess like 18 would probably be the
18. That's cool. So you went to Canada just after
graduating, just went like for like
did
a
you
year.
Have cannabis there?
I was around it, but I didn't smoke it, which is fucking crazy. And I was in Kelowna. I literally became a smoker a couple months after, but I can remember being like, was snowboarding on the ski resort, the ski like thing got stuck. I was just with a, you know, a bunch of random Canadians. Yeah. They pulled out a joint. They're like, hey, do you want like some? And I was just thinking like, oh, what if I get too high and I'm snowboarding? And now it's like, it would have been fine. But I was just like, it's going to fuck me up. But no,
yeah.
I really wish like snowboarding baked would be so fucking fun as well. Yeah. So I definitely got to go back to that. But
That's interesting. So you came back having not had cannabis in Canada, the motherland of weed.
Yeah, man.
But you would have been exposed to it plenty. You would have seen the culture there.
On the way to fucking the big ski mountain resort, I'm pretty sure there was like crop fields. I remember driving past just being like 17, like, oh yeah, cool. Like just fields. But now I'd be like, holy shit, like let's pull over. I got to run through this fucking field. But
yeah. Oh, wow.
But it's fresh out of high school, like at that point. So it was like pretty naive to just doing shit, you know? Like,
no, that makes sense. So you came back and you came into cannabis. Like, did you quickly adopt cannabis, like to regular use? Or were you more into, how would we call it? Like you just slowly kind of, on the weekends. That's how it most kind of, people
yeah.
I find.
Yeah, yeah. It started like on the weekends and then it was like just weekends. And then it was like, oh, maybe a couple of days. But then it just slowly became routine. Like it's like our equivalent to a glass of wine.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That 420 lifestyle. Now, when did you potentially have the realization that you were self-medicating with cannabis? Did that happen soon or did it happen later?
I think probably later when you maybe like... You notice that like you might be agitated because you're not getting and like, okay, like I'm having like a pretty big emotional response. Like it should be fine. Like, but yeah, that probably when I was like 20, maybe like that was maybe smoking really heavy, but then you learn to like kind of pull back and like, it's all your relationship with it.
Yeah. That's we always talk about the relationship with cannabis on the cast. Like, it's such a delicate thing. We never know. Is it too much? Is it too little? Because there's so much stigma and judgment that comes in on us.
Yeah.
So I always wonder, like, people who have adopted the cannabis lifestyle, with all of that judgment and whatnot coming at you, how do you manage your relationship with cannabis with that in mind? Like, right, you've chosen to come out really publicly for cannabis as a rapper.
Yeah.
How does it like affect like the family life, the friend life, the just even employment life, I guess?
Yeah. Like, it's definitely stigma, and it's like blocked a lot of stuff just for being known as drug use. Like stuff like government grants or certain festival things are like, oh no, we don't condone drug use, and it's like it's only cannabis that's mentioned, so they're really vilifying that. It's insane. But then, you know, you look at like the propaganda from the 1930s and Reefer Madness, and we look back and like, we know that was bullshit. Like, this is going to be an era that people look back on and be like, oh, okay, they were standing up when they knew it was bullshit, you know? So it's just been on the right side of history, I guess.
It's interesting. Like, now, like, could they discriminate if we have a medicinal space? Like, you're now coming out as a medicinal patient rather than the stoner from next door. I wonder if that's grounds to be like, well, I'm not promoting use, I'm promoting medicine.
See, I think eventually that'll be accepted, even though it legally should right now, because that's literally the definition.
That's
like,
it. So you hit 23, you're on stage with Hobson. What do you do from there? Like, you just go, fuck it, I'm gonna start rapping.
Or it was like, I should have just jumped right to it, but I was like, yeah, cool, this is something I might want to do. But it took me probably months to get into a studio, and so I looked up with Rob Shaker from SBX, and he just like, he's produced a lot of WA artists, and I figured go to the best, and then you can kind of learn and pick brain and stuff like that. Yeah, and then it just kind of went from there. But it probably took me like a year and a half to make a song after that, like actually put it out. And that was probably slowed by being baked and various things.
But it's also like the process to get there. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate how hard it is as an artist to actually put something out. Like, because one, you know you're going to be judged for it, like straight away. But two, just like having to get yourself up to put work into something that you have no idea of the outcome at the end.
Yeah.
Right? Like we have an idea for, like, for you it would be a song, I suppose, or a piece of art or something. And you're trying to push it forward and you have no idea if what you're trying to create is going to be what it is at the end.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10 times, it's nothing where you started, right? But it's that drive to be able to actually create something And just be like, fuck, I want to make this because there's some driving reason behind it. But to find that sometimes, you know, like I think that's really hard. So to get to your first whatever it is, like I see a lot of cannabis, you know, enthusiasts in the community and they want to do shit, but they're really just stuck not pushing forward with themselves. I'm trying to kind of figure out like, how do we help those people along a little more? Like, what makes it possible for you to be, I'm a fucking 420 rapper. What makes it possible for me to be like, I run a cannabis fucking media something or other.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how did we get into our positions and like, what did we overcome to get to those barriers?
Yeah.
I just see so many people that are like just smoking cones and drowning themselves out. Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of pain there, right?
Yeah. Self-medicating.
Right.
You know, yeah, for sure.
You know, traumas potentially, all of that. But at the end of the day, like, we've had those experiences, right? Surely. Like, I don't think you can be an artist without, like, going through a lot of things, right? So, I know I'm on a bit of a ramble, but I just wonder what is it that kind of we carry forward to believe that we can do something?
I think... it's like maybe it's having passion for anything and then using that passion to fuel you and doing shit like brick by brick. So if you do something small every single day, even if the rest of the day fucking sucks, you're still laying one brick. So mathematically, that's like 7 bricks a week. And if you keep doing that month in, month out, it's like you're all stacking. Of a sudden you go like, oh shit, this is up to my knees. Like, And I think a lot of people, they don't, like, it's hard to start and it's hard to continue just for the first bit. So they never get that little, but it's like, if you just do one brick, just one little thing, it could even just be like taking care of yourself, like eating healthy food or a workout. And then from there you're like, oh fuck. And then you do something else that, you know, it takes 100%. You to where you want to go.
That's somewhere where I've always struggled, right? Like, I can see that and I can deploy it in some aspects of my life. Other aspects, I just struggle, right? Like, why that is a fucking mystery to me, to be honest. Like, I can be very, disciplined in certain aspects of my life, but others you just fucking completely let go because the passion's there, the passion's not there.
Yeah.
To find the passion in the things that are mundane, very hard for myself.
Yeah. It's finding the exercise you like to do. So that's why, like, boxing is probably the best because it's actually stimulating.
Stimulating, exactly.
Like, treadmill running, boring as fuck. Like, I couldn't do that. Like, doing that for hours, just super generic. Like, even with music, it's just like, I don't know, you want to, like, build a skill at the same time.
Yeah, learn something. Yeah. No, I think people who are often doing are often learning more than doing. I think a lot of learning's coming before the doing. It's like you're practicing it and then you're doing it, right? So I really like the brick by brick thing. I've heard that a few times in my life and I think that's a really good analogy on, like, how the hell do you build something for yourself, right?
Yeah.
How do you build a house out of hip hop?
You know, it's with pebbles and sticks.
It's
and
fucking hard.
Yeah.
The artist life, I sympathize with a lot of artists because that shit is rough. That is really, really rough because your business is popularity. It's not necessarily the art itself. It's actually the popularity that comes behind the art. So I sympathize with that. But you've now been doing the rap game for how long?
I guess, 9 years this year.
9 years, we're almost hitting 10.
Yeah.
So sweet. When you hit 10, you start to dominate an industry. And like for me, when I think of like rappers in Australia, there's obviously the big ones, but you're one of the key ones that I recognize out of the 420 community.
Oh yeah, cheers.
I guess that's because of the involvement you've had probably with those events in Western Australia. I've never been. But like you hear about that through the grapevine. Like if you're in the community, you know about them. So I think that's... I think that's really inspiring that you've committed to this community.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see, you know, where that keeps going. I can't see anything stopping you from just rising up more. Like, you know, our community is actually growing and we're coming out of the bushes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really interesting, like, next 10 years, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. And especially after like decades of stigma and all the obstructions at every turn are now finally breaking the door. It's going to be like, fuck yeah, it's going to be a thriving industry. Everyone who's represented it, it's like, this is the time. Like,
that's it. And I think one of my, I don't know if it's exactly a mission, but something I do really want to do with Friendly Aussie Buds as a platform is highlight, you know, people who have been there from the beginning, because there's going to be a whole bunch of these new people coming in and I don't want disrespect to them. We don't know who they are. they're fine. I'm happy to have them, but I still want the real people who were in this community from the beginning, who stuck it out, to get that recognition that they've been doing this a long fucking time. Like,
you know, the
Nimbin crew probably owes it more than deserves that more than anyone. That
flag, absolutely.
So, we just, I think that's something we got to keep, you know, pushing and talking and, you know, through our, you know, I never regard it as what I do as art, but I'm like, it's creating, it's art. It absolutely is. But, you know, letting art show, you know, our history and culture. And I think that's where hip hop and music just fucking sick. For me, I've never been a huge hip hop guy. I've always been a punk and I was metal guy for like that long. And then I went, fuck this. Punk's way better. It's a better community. But but I always really fucking loved hip hop. Why? Mm. Because it was actually more punk than punk. Like hip hop, it's all such grassroots. It's often, you know, the individual, and it's often talking from a point of disempowerment. Like it's almost always trying to overcome something. I notice with hip hop, whether it's like, you know, race issues in the US or like in Africa, wherever, like anywhere, it's always, hip hop's always kind of been the surface of that for the last, I think, 50 years
this 50? Year.
That's cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's relatively new in the landscape of music, and so there's going to be new generations who have grown up from hip hop from the dot, you know.
From the dot. Yeah, that's going to be a wild time.
Yeah.
And also now with like what we can do with computers in terms of mixing and editing and sampling.
Like, oh yeah, music's just going to get crazy. Like this is the last era of just pure human, but I guess still with like analogs and instruments, but yeah, it's going to change forever. Like,
where do you kind of put yourself in the hip hop world? Like, who are your favorite artists? Do you just respect everyone? But like, what do you listen to?
It's, I guess, with MCs, it's like, it's them and their personality. So you got just like with like metal, I was like thrash, power, death. There's all like subgenres of hip hop as well. So like Australian wise, definitely like Seth Century, Draft, Bliss and Esso were probably big ones.
I'm trying to DJ Ism wants to fucking come on. They're coming in October. I should try and get you on at the same time. We'll turn it into a big smash.
For sure. Yeah, they're playing the Flying Colors.
Yeah,
which so 2008, that was the year I really got into Aussie hip hop, and Flying Colors was one of those albums where I was like, holy shit. Like but yeah, America wise would be like Tech N9ne, Sage Francis, Redman, like golden era stuff. Like when I went to Canada, so that was just out of high school, there was a bunch of just like documentaries on the Canadian like music TV.
Yeah,
and it was like Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest, and I was like, holy shit, just opened this whole new kind of thing of hip hop to me. And I remember like that was my shit, the crisp boom back beats, like the old school samples, with some conscious shit over the top.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nah, I really should dig more into hip hop. I really do appreciate like the history behind it all and how that all builds. Like when I watched Straight Outta Compton, that was like very glad that that existed. And I was like, I just want more of that. Like,
it pumps you up. It like got me fired up to create and stuff. I know there'll be a lot of creators who saw that and just like, what the fuck?
That,
like,
that inspired me to create. I was just like, these guys, they, like, that's how Dre built his empire, doing that. Fucking, I can do that.
Yeah.
Like,
working the fucking ass off, like making it happen.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. Do you, do you have a preferred method of like taking cannabis?
So for me, it's fucking vapes. I used to love the bongs, but I've always low key kind of been into vaping. So like for me, I was nerdy as fuck when I went to uni, and I studied cannabis at uni more than I did my IT degree. Like I went on to like journal articles and shit. Like I was just studying hard out, just to justify smoking weed. Like I was trying to be like, oh no, it's all good. It's safe. It's all that. And I was right, obviously, but I got super into it, and that's where I discovered vaporizing was like the most efficient way to have weed. So then I was like, oh, I got to get a vape. I got a vape, and it's kind of shit because they didn't hit that well back then. It was a Da Vinci Ascent. Then eventually we got the Extreme Q Airizer. It was all right, but again, it didn't hit well. Then we got the fucking Volcano. That fucking hit, but it chewed through weed. Still great device. Like it's I think it's turned 23 years old. Like it came out like 23 years ago,
the Volcano.
Yeah,
shit,
it's a fucking masterpiece of engineering, like when you think about it, like because the model the design hasn't changed. It's the same fucking thing. They made the digital version, but it's the same fucking device. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Like there needs to be some recognition there for like innovation. That's crazy. But so we got that, and then I eventually got some other vapes, and then I got the Mighty, and everyone loves the Mighty Vaporizer. It's a great vape, but then I got the Vestrato by the Anvil by Vestrato. This is actually Canadian made, this one.
Oh, yeah.
So that's made in Canada. This part that's the copper is also Canadian mined copper. They like fucking got mined there, smelted in Canada. So it's all fucking Canadian, which is kind of cool. I don't know. I love this thing. This became my main one, and then this also became my nighttime
go to.
Fucking. Oh, yeah, there's some in there.
Yeah, but that's a smooth piece right there.
Very smooth. I think it's yeah, and the taste and the terpenes you get from those for the fresh bowl, unreal. So yeah, vaping, but otherwise probably joints.
Yeah,
joints kind of like I really like. I think that was the first thing I ever had, and someone told me once like the first thing you have is going to be your favorite no matter what. And my partner had cartridges really first, where she properly got high. She had some things before, but she regards the cartridges at first, and she still fucking loves them to this day.
Yeah,
you know. But for me, the joint, fucking rolling a fucking fatty, smoking it either by myself or with people.
Yeah, it is the ultimate travel one, and it's like, oh, just great. Not that it matters anymore, but like, yeah, flicking out, hiding it, multiple hits in one.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck.
The only problem is like it's discreet, but it fucking reeks. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It like if I have a joint, I reckon houses like 3, 4, 5 houses up can smell it. Easy.
That's a good thing about vapes as well. Just being able to like in public, like on the way to movies. Yeah.
And I think that's something that's changed a lot from when I started is how prevalent vapes are. Like people are buying more vapes than they are billies and whatnot nowadays. Like there's still the culture around the bong smoking and stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I think the newer generation's definitely getting into the vapes. And I think it's a good thing too, because I think the discreetness is nice, and I think it's going to help build the cleaner community. Like a better image.
Totally. Know? Like people picture like a dirty bong, a person coughing their luffs out. Like it's just nasty. The bong water, the smell of bong water is fucking repulsive.
It's not good.
Yeah, if you don't smoke weed, I totally understand why you would hate that scent. You'd
be like, 100%. So I think it's a good thing that that's changing, but it's also, I don't know, there's part of the culture that I kind of like about smoking bongs and, you know, having joints and things. I think there's something there that I think it's because it's quite ancient. If you think about it, like it's super analog. It's as analog as you can fucking go. And I think that's maybe why I like this one a little bit, because you're lighting it and all that. But like, you think about like being around a campfire or something and lighting a bong, like it just seems kind of like it's the way to do it. But I regard bongs as like spiritual experiences now. I have you pack a big fucker, you romp it, you hit that shit and you fly to the space and you figure out some things. That's what bongs are for.
Yeah.
At least for me now.
I'd compare it like a bong is kind of like a shot, a joint is like a mixed drink, and then like a bucket is like a tequila shot. So you got like varying things, but a bong is just like a quick... like just the weed version
especially the Aussie like little bonza cone ones, like the little snappers. Oh man, like that's just it's quick hits shot.
It's just we just lift it up instead of throwing it down.
Bucket bongs were always my thing when I was younger. We had a bucket that lived on a kitchen table for like 6 months, I think. Like it got changed water ones. And stuff. But like, and we'd change the bottle every week or two. And we were using like 3-liter Milduras. Man, and that was some gold. I think my lungs have never recovered.
Yeah, it's like that can't be good. So I know people who still smoke buckets, and it's like you gotta step off that platform. Like that's so bad on the lungs.
It's so bad. I literally don't think they've recovered. It's fuck.
It's nasty. The gravity bong, as it's called in America.
Yeah, the gravity bong. Or the waterfall where you do it.
Yeah, waterfall,
I remember, like, were you also, like, just fucking searching anything?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, 18, 19, like, just delving into...
everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you know the video. The fucking old man ripping the giant billy with the yellow and he just takes it and doesn't breathe it out. And you're like...
You're supposed to exhale. Like, he just does it. He's like, no. Like.
And he's got the hip-hop blazing. And he's just like, And you're like, cool. I'm going to be that guy. That seems aspirational to me.
He's just holding his breath underwater for the fuck of it. Like,
like those early years of cannabis use to me were quite special, like the early sesh.
For sure.
You know, as we've gotten older, like you see the boys less, you know, people get misses, like chicks or kids. responsibilities shit. It's like you don't get to do it as often. And I actually was fiddling around on the guitar the other day and I started just singing a song about like the good old days of the good old sesh. You know, like, and I'm like, ah, so you young fellas, they do go away. So like fucking treasure that shit. Treasure it, boys.
It's yeah, it's almost like a psychedelic base because you have low tolerance and everything. Like just going to the shops to get food is a fucking full length movie.
Yeah.
Still remember those. Like,
oh, I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
Good times. Yeah, going to HJ's, going to Fast Eddie's, which is like a 24-hour food thing. It felt like our Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Yeah, like, yeah. We're gonna go there, and it was just like, yeah. Fucking awesome.
In Brizzy, where would you go? Probably the Subway back in the day at Kangaroo Point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kangaroo Point's a sweet spot, like, scenic-wise.
Yeah, that was good. Or you go to the Valley and you go to Death by Before Decaf, or you go to the kebab store that's literally never closed. Never closed. It's kind of unbelievable.
Servicing the community, like...
That's it.
Fuck.
So... In terms of what kind of shows you've played, like where does the hip hop career kind of go? Like how did we get to Mad Fap?
Yeah.
Great name, by the way.
Cheers. Yeah.
Where the Fap.
Yeah, yeah. Mad
Fap. The Fap. It's Fap meets Mad Fap.
Yeah, yeah. Like Mad Magazine and fucking... Yeah, I guess so Mad Fap came about like just wanting to do stuff in Perth, like shows and to get booked. Usually you need to have like an album and a huge, like you don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff sorted, but I knew a bunch of us were like, oh, we need to play shows. So Mad Fap was just putting on shows for a whole bunch of different styles, like some hip hop, some bands, like burlesque, comedy, and just do it in like an ADD format. Cause a lot of us just like heaps of different shit, like not just hip hop, like
multi-passionate people.
Yeah. We figured other people would like to see, oh, in a couple hours you could see all these different styles, short and sweet, you know? And so, yeah, that was first show was 2015 and yeah, still doing shows now. So the Chronic Fest, Fringe World, Mad Fap Mania. It's good. Yeah, it's just a way to connect the community of just all these different artists, you know? Like,
yeah, that makes sense. I dig that. Like, when did you create Mad Fap?
Yeah, so 2015.
Fuck, so 8 years that's been running. Okay, so that happened pretty quickly into everything. Then.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just putting on shows, and then going from there.
Yeah. So what would you like to see... in terms of the music industry and like what you're doing in Australia, like where do you see the future and what you're going to?
Yeah, well, the pandemic era has really fucked like the Aussie or a lot of industries, but the Aussie music industry as well. Like
everything's expensive.
Yeah. And just taking no money, like it definitely needs financial support or even just like a bare minimum that artists get paid. Cause some will just play for like fucking food or like tips or, you know, shit like that. And it's like, that's not good for an artist. Like they need to be able to sustain themselves. So yeah, hopefully that like, as we get out of the fucking weird era of the 2020s, but who knows if this whole decade is going to be fucking, there's a lot of, you know, there's a few different ways it can go. So
absolutely. It's not looking, I don't know. The government doesn't really seem to be caring too much about the arts. They're all about the Olympics at the moment.
Yeah, yes.
So, like, a lot of money is going towards there, which is a shame. But I don't know. I think it's interesting because I do see a lot of people going out now, right?
Yeah.
The problem is money's now tightening, so it's getting harder. So it's like people are being very careful of where they're spending that money because even if your show ticket's pretty cheap, the fucking night out isn't. That's kind of the fucker out of the whole thing.
For sure.
I think that's what I find quite challenging when you go out now. But if you notice, there's so many international acts coming. Like,
There's so
many big shows happening. And that's where so much money's going, which is great.
Yeah.
But like your smaller artists at the moment, like heaps of bands that I love, they're now playing a venue smaller than they were pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And they were still putting out stuff. They weren't like unproductive or anything. Like they were still putting out albums or at least singles and things or EPs. But like they've stepped back in a venue size.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Yeah, because a lot of people, everyone, like a lot of people have less disposable income. And like you said, like you got the Uber, you got drinks, you got, it's $100+. So a lot of people are like, fuck it. And it's
crazy.
It's one of those things.
But that is where we do live the 420 lifestyle, and we're not dependent on drinks as much.
yeah, totally. That's, you know? Like, I love going to live comedy and stuff like that. Yeah. Like just super baked, like weed on the way, right outside, and then just live comedy. Just it's wicked.
If you need to step out after halfway, fucking quick vape, quick joint, whatever. Like jump.
Yeah,
back
edibles
in.
As well. Just gotta be careful because they can be fucking intense.
Romp you a little bit. Yeah. Know how strong they are before you have them.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think if the government, and they're gonna, it is what they're doing, they're just gonna keep taxing alcohol, and you know, that's gonna put out that price. I think when I was young, fucking everyone was like, fuck it, I'll just do MD. Like, that's what most people were doing. It's like, I'll just take two caps for the night, I've spent $50 and I'm good. I'll buy like two drinks maybe. You know, and I think with cannabis, I think that can creep in as well. Like with the medicinal starting to be around, like, we can take it to a pub, we can pack it in a vape and hit in the smokers and just casually. There's no questions. Like if they give you hassle, like it's legal, you know, you're in your rights. So
that's wild to think about. Like that was a pipe dream like years ago. Like you'd be like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, isn't that awesome? Like, oh yeah.
It's been available, I think, since technically like 2016, but like we could call it like 18, 19, where it was 19, where it was remotely feasible to have access.
It's crazy.
So 2020 is where it really, okay, access was around properly. Yeah. But it's only been 3 years since we've had such a privilege. And
probably a good time for it to be introduced to the masses as well, because this is the time when people were locked down and like this is something you can just fucking chill.
Imagine you're drinking every day while locked down.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people did. Like,
fuck yeah,
super depressing. Like,
I don't know, I loved lockdown. I had a great time. Like, I hated that I couldn't go to shows and shit, but man, was it good to just chill. Like, cause like I don't know, I it just got me into creating what I wanted.
Yeah,
I was just focused a little more. Like, there was no outside world to have to give a shit about. I was like, fucking, I can finally do what I want. COVID was all right for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I want to do it again. I've seen some people say that. I don't want to do it again, but like COVID was a good time. I kind of wish it went a little longer in Queensland, because Queensland didn't cop it as bad as the other places.
Well, Melbourne seemed brutal. Like
Melbourne
dictator
was rough.
Fucking like longest in the world. Like I was in Australia.
Careful what I wish for, I suppose.
Yeah, it's, I guess, it was just good just not having to, you know, get up and go to places. Like, I think everyone having to, like, put on this elaborate outfit, go to work, sit under fluorescent lights, like, drive back, be stuck in traffic. Like, that's fucked. Like,
yeah, everyone got sick of it immediately.
PJs and home, and you can smash out your work, and you can chill with your dog or your kids. Like,
yeah, get your laundry done, cook your fucking meals, not have to order Uber Eats and shit because you're tired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
like, all that shit. Is
better schedule.
And then the work from home that happened to people, like, that big benefit. My partner works from home 2 days a week, so hopefully three soon.
Yeah.
It's like no one really wants to be in the office unless it's like you've got a job where you really need that kind of feedback, I suppose. Like, you know, there's some things where you do want to be in a team environment in a physical presence, but fuck, so much of the work people do that I see is just bullshit and boring. Like you're just pushing paper from one person to another a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or you're pushing some numbers or whatever the fuck. Like, I don't know, you're just reading out something to someone. So why not do it in your home?
Exactly.
But, you know, even saying that, I work from home and it does get lonely because I do it every day. So I have to figure out ways to get a little bit more of that social aspect.
Yeah, you know.
Otherwise, you do start to go a little stir crazy.
We're social creatures. Like, that's, when the lockdown was full on and some people were straight up isolated. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, if you're by yourself, that would have been rough. But, like, I had my partner. We were together about a year and a half, too. So it was still kind of fresh, which I probably made it a bit more acceptable. I think like if you're with someone for so long, you get sick of their shit. The old like, I'm going to play golf, like I'm just getting away from you sort of attitude, you know, like I need a break. But what did you do during your lockdown? Did you make a lot of tunes or?
Yeah, I figured because I couldn't like travel anywhere or do shows, it's just gonna work. So I put out, I think, two albums in 2020, but I was building up to an all weed album. Like in years ago, I remember thinking like, all right, hopefully weed's legal by 2020. Each April 20th, I'll put out a weed song just each year. And then I'll build up and then on 420, then I'll release an all weed album. Yeah. So I did that for 420 and that was cool. And now it's like cool to see this decade. It's like, fuck yeah, like medical, like people get medical now. Like it's finally happened. Like,
yeah, no, true. That's interesting. You thought it by 2020 and it happened.
And I'm just like, come on, like it's got to. And then hopefully there's like weed festivals and stuff, which will definitely happen in Australia as well. Like,
yeah,
it should on a national scale, you know, like,
yeah,
definitely time.
I don't think it's too far. I reckon we could maybe pull something off next year.
Yeah.
I reckon something could pull off. I'm fucking keen. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday next
year. Saturday is a bonza day to celebrate weed. That means for most people, they can wake and bake. Like usually Monday to Friday or work is like all day into the night.
Yeah. The question is it an all day? I don't know. We got to see. I reckon we can get something going.
Yeah.
If you're on the YouTube, drop us a comment if you'd like to attend a 420 festival. Somewhere in Australia next year. Somewhere. I'm not sure where. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, where's the best state to do it? And I was like, fuck, it is Canberra, but like, who the fuck wants to go to Canberra?
It's pretty, it can be fucking cold there. Like, cold as a motherfucker.
April, it's not too bad, but it does get cold.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, probably not Canberra. And I'm like, New South Wales, man, cunty roads. Queensland's all right for roads. But I don't know. Have to have a little think. Because I was thinking, there's some... Got to do a big little... big festival for 420 next year. Something's got to happen. I'd love to get a whole bunch of people from community, like across the whole country, coming to the place.
Yeah. Should happen. Definitely worth doing. It's just, again, finding the area that's the most like nice to that whole concept.
Yeah, that's... I know some people that run... I don't know them directly, but I know someone who works with them that run, what festival is it? Fucking one of the big doofs down in New South Wales and one of the other bigger music festivals, happens in, Moving in the Groove. Grooving in the Moo. I know the folks that run Grooving in the Moo.
Yeah.
Not directly, but bidirectly. Works with them really closely. So, we've been talking, we're like, we should really like pitch this fucking idea, get some...
Yeah.
Big organizers to make it like a proper 420 festival. Yeah.
It's as long as one of them is a smoker, then they'll understand and be like, yes, this is the time. Exactly. Like the stars have aligned finally. Yeah,
that's it. If not, we'll figure out something. We'll get something done. All right. So you've been on the Medi for a while. How have you found it compared to like being on the street, like weed? I call it the green market weed.
Green market, yeah, it's better than
green market, bro. Like, respect the market.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. You
know? Well, except for the PGR sellers, those fucking dogs.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. Is like, I don't even want to have PGR in the realm. So, like, I'm loving medical. That it's like, again, like a bottle shop. That you have the percentage, you have the exact thing. You know that it's going to be measured. You know, like, I think it's been great. Like, it's just so much more efficient. I just can't wait till it's actual physical dispensaries that we can walk into.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, like LA and Colorado and stuff like
give
that.
Give them like a script or something and be like, here, what would you like?
Yeah. Get told and then about having this. Yeah.
But fuck, I don't know if we'll ever get that.
I think it will happen, just maybe in select areas and like everything, just years in delay.
It's going
like,
to take time. It's going to take time because... the problem there is it becomes a advertising and marketing issue. And right now the medical companies are not allowed to market their cannabis. Or advertise their cannabis to patients. It's meant to be advertised to the doctors. They'd have to, I think, down schedule to be able to change that. So if they did that, then potentially patients could maybe talk to their pharmacist and the pharmacist could be like, yo, these nugs are the shit for sleep. Probably not, but you know, like the dream. Yeah. What I find funny now is if you want to be a legal dealer, you need to be a pharmacist. You know, like
essentially.
Why didn't I get told to become a pharmacist at school? Like Christ. But also I wasn't into weed at school. I actually thought weed was bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was clever marketing and like the way it was booked is like, it's a gateway drug and you could get schizophrenia with one fucking hit. And I was like, all right, I'm good. As I got older, then get smarter to it. Like, wait a second. I see people who are like, fine. Like,
there's that. But the problem was also like the people I saw at school that had weed, they were generally the deadbeats of the school. Like a lot of the time, not all of them, but like, they were always not quite achieving as well as the other kids, I would say. Or they were the cool bully, you know? I'm like, I'm all right not doing what they do. Instead, I'll fucking inject the World of Warcraft. That was fucking the drug at the time.
Yeah.
That was some good shit. I still think about
that. Oh, yeah, I'm sure WoW hooked a lot of...
Fuck, bro.
Better than actual crack or anything.
Fuck,
so
yeah. I know people that are still playing. Like, fucking hell. I'm like, Jesus, bro. Like, that's a lot of time to spend on a fucking game.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do you. But
there's going to be a VR version of that as well. Like, WoW is going to get... there's going to be far more immersive versions of that. So people are legit just going to be in their room and off the grid.
Disconnect, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked... what was it? The crypto community where they were doing it. It looked like Roblox. It was like a Minecraft fucking thing. Sandbox. Oh, Sandbox. Yeah. It was like a VR Minecraft and they would create worlds and you could create your own little games and shit. And I was like, man... If I was a kid, I'd be learning how to make this shit because, Christ, you're going to make a lot of money on it because it's all going to be like, you want to look a certain way? Fucking pay the dollars. And it's like, cool, now capital's just going into fake virtual world and it's not generating anything in this world at all. But it's going in the pocket of someone.
Someone's making, yeah.
Some fucking coin, bro. Cool.
It's humans. Humans being humans. So that's the thing. It's like, how do you navigate in a world where there's so many weasels and fucking, you're just going to be real, I don't know, what's the word? Not even street smart, like fucking people aware. Like people, some people are awesome. You build with the right people.
Yeah.
Some people are fucking psychos, like it's characters. Like,
yeah. And it's very hard to know. Like, how do you know who to trust? I don't know. If they don't smoke, I probably don't trust them a lot of the time. It takes a while to warm up to that. Some people I've known that didn't and then now do. And I'm like, fucking, all right.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome when you know someone who's been against it for a while, then tried it and then like it. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I knew it would be good for you. Like,
yeah. Especially the people that are like, ah, you're going through a lot. You could definitely use something other than alcohol, buddy.
Yeah.
How do you think? Do you think in pictures?
Ah, fuck. Words? I just saw it very visual, I guess. Very. Like, always has been as a kid. Like, I'd be writing stories. So maybe that's why, I, like, rap or, like, MCing is part of that. Because it's just writing thoughts that are vivid. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
For me, I don't have, like, such a vivid thing. But I can see, like, connections. I see dots. Yeah. So for me, it's like, oh, I connect an idea to this idea, then this idea to this idea. So, like, then I form the thought.
Yeah.
But it's all like dot connected.
Mathematical.
Yeah, very analytical.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to always see how other people kind of.
Oh, yeah, because like, again, we're all fractals of whatever this is, you know? Like,
how do you see reality? That's a fucking big one.
It's, well, I guess, you know, once you have a couple of trips, then you understand, okay, we're in a pretty crazy situation. Like, we're all kind of experiencing this. This has happened over and over and over again, like, unfathomable amount of times. Okay, the way I think of it is like, have you heard of like the Amazonian ant theory? Where it's just like, if you think about ants, there's billions on billions, if not trillions of ants in the Amazon that have never ever seen humans at all. And you couldn't explain to them what a human is, you know? But we know that they're there and there's billions of them. Like, so I feel like that's probably what's happening to us now. Like billions and billions of people. Shit, that's so much bigger than us that we can't possibly comprehend. Like, how do you explain to a dog like what colors are, or fucking an ant, what, oh, it's a bong, we light it and then we lit, like, it's just, yeah. So I feel like we're probably like floor creatures in the bigger things. We're probably like extraterrestrials mating with a local species like a primate, and it's happened, and now we're kind of the result of that, and that's why we're like quite conscious and awake much more than any other animals, but we're still just kind of fucked. Like, yeah, I guess that's what I think. But it's like, I'm always thinking about it. Like, there's all these theories entertain and think about, you know, but...
Did you watch Midnight Gospel?
Oh, yeah, I love Duncan Trussell. He's just like fucking such a gentle soul, you know, like, yeah.
I like a lot of his ideas. The video game theory is like been with me since even before.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely plausible.
Like, for some reason, man, like when I would have been like 8 or 9 years old, 9, maybe 10. I saw The Matrix and I was like, something about that movie fucking resonated as a 10-year-old.
Likewise. Yeah.
You know, and even now I've got the fucking goosties.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that shit is fucked. Like, and it all connected. And then, you know, the ideas of virtual reality and games, and when you played WoW or RuneScape, you're like, hang on a second, there's a player behind the thing and they're just doing what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, consciousness. That's why we can't physically see our consciousness, but that's the one we're getting our ideas from now and shit.
Yeah.
It's wild.
But how the fuck we get to who we are now and, you know, purpose and all of that, I don't really know. Whether it's just like we just choose what our purpose is as we're going along, I think that's kind of where I get to.
Yeah.
But I do like to believe that we're all kind of destined to do something, some certain things. Like when we're spawned into this like fucking universe, I like to think that we come with like not necessarily goals or objectives, but like internal desires of like the consciousness that spat us the fuck out. Like this fucking creation's gonna try and do this. Whether it's successful or not, it doesn't really matter, but like that's kind of the purpose. It's like I've always wondered about people's like purpose. It just seems like a lot of people who got luck, most of the time it's always luck. Like, oh, it's lucky Elon got to where he is in a sense. Like he had a fucked up life, you know, getting to who he is, right? Elon Musk.
Yeah.
But like his life, like it could have only happened to him. Like he's the only person who could have been Elon. Like there's no one else that could have that existence to make that that chance of that. But I think there's like a lot of people that get those chances, but like something just goes that way and then they've course corrected and gone another way, but there's still different ambitions and stuff that gets lived out there, you know, like when you have The Sims, right? When you can't, I think it was like The Sims 3, when you create them, you'd have to choose like what are your little life goals. But when you think about it, like that person doesn't have to do any of those things, like, and you can choose to not, but like you get a satisfaction if you do.
Yeah.
So it's like when you've got some idea, I think, like in terms of like a goal or something, or like something you want to do. I think when you realize, oh, I would like that, and if you devote yourself to it and you achieve that, I think that's your purpose. Like, I think that's literally the only purpose you've got.
If you, literally, yeah, it's chasing your passion and what amps up your body in a good way. So you just do that, then yeah, that's your purpose, whatever it may be. Like, I think that's a good way to spend time, because that's the only thing you can really be assured of is what you actually want to do.
No, I like that. This is helping me, weirdly. I think it's like I've got friends that, you know, they haven't really found where they're driven by purpose, you know, like they're still kind of floating with ideas of like, oh, I don't know what I'm passionate about and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's such a sad thing, because for me, I'm like, I don't know how you can't find passion. It's just everywhere.
Yeah. It's what you really want to spend your time doing. And you're constantly thinking about, like,
but the thing is, people get stuck on like wrong passions.
Oh,
right?
Totally. And negative like thought games, loops and
bro. Shit. Games. Yeah. Games are what I see more than anything.
Yeah.
They get stuck on games and they're like, fuck yeah, I'm really good at this game. And it's like 5 years has gone and I'm still really good at this game. It's like, yeah, but what else are you really good at? And then they're not finding fulfillment anywhere else, because the game fucking dopamine is the exact same every
time. Yeah, it's huge, for sure.
You know, like, it's not long lasting. It's like, fuck yeah, okay, on to the next hit.
Yeah, porn, gaming, gambling, like there's a few like hooking systems for sure. Like,
yeah, they capture you, and it's like, I don't know. I just, for me, I just hate, because a lot of them do use cannabis. So like, and then that stereotype.
Oh, cannabis and gaming is hand in hand.
Bro,
it's fun.
I love it as well.
That's why it's so seductive, I think. Yeah. And that's why people get lured in. I was like, no, I'm having a great time. It's like, yeah, you are, but got to do other shit too.
But how do we like, you know, how do you pull people out of that? Like I talked about that earlier, but it's like, I think that's something that's just been running in my head for a few days, weeks. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I think one of those tricky things to get out of, because it is so addictive satisfying. I don't know. I'd like to see that change a little more.
Yeah.
I
mean, sometimes for like gamers, they get such a thrill. There's the adrenaline of playing, especially if it's like an adventure or some murder game. It's like, if they do some form of training, like martial arts or something that's like stimulating for them. Like, I know a lot of people who will game, then go train, then come back to gaming.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're just a lot healthier and happier and shit. It's because because we need to move our bodies.
That makes sense.
So, I mean, that's something, but most people I know who are hardcore gamers don't want to train, and it's like, fair enough, but you will seriously fucking benefit so much, like, because we're animals at the end of the day, like, we're evolved, but we're still, if you're not fighting or fucking, you know, eventually you're just going to be, oh, I'm just fucking frustrated all the time, like, just everything will, you know, fuck with your emotions.
Yeah. Aussie hip hop, where's it at?
I guess it's growing, like, because I guess Aussie hip hop from like 80s to now has had all these new generations, and now the people who have just grown up on Aussie hip hop don't even know American or other hip hop. Just like, that's their first thing, which is kind of trippy to think about.
That is very weird to think about.
But yeah, I guess there's all the subgenres, you know, you got like drill, you got like Gutter Rap, you got Boom Bap.
Man, I really like 1-4.
Yeah, so Drill.
I like the Drill stuff. Like, I like a lot of grimy UK stuff, like yeah. that I've listened to before. One group I really like is, what are they called? Von something. I want to say Eric Clapton. And I'm like, it's not fucking Eric Clapton. I'll have to dig it up later. But yeah, it's these two fellas that like rap about the BBC and like the monarch and like the oppression.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like in the style of like the Prodigy and kind of like that rocky metal rap. But then it's the rap on top. And I'm just like, oh, this is mishmash of so much good shit. And I'm like, if this is what's going to come out of music soon, more and more, I'm like, I'll live for that.
Yeah, UK's been good for like for everything, like comedy, like fucking rock, metal. Yeah. They're a solid, like everything. So yeah, UK hip-hop as well. Miserable. Like, they create great art. Like they've always, like Britain's always been a pretty good spot for that. Like,
how do you see Australia in the world stage, like in terms of just artistry? Like, where do you see us? I think we're underrated.
Yeah, we're underrated, but we are like the size of Australia on the map is probably an accurate representation of how we're viewed. Like, it's like we're probably a niche Western country, like a small, like, oh, it's Australia down under, but we're still growing. And yeah, we're a young country in comparison to the rest of the world. So
yeah, it's interesting to me because like there's some acts that completely take off from Australia and others that just nothing. And you'd think they would.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I guess we don't pick and choose. And in Australia, it seems like to make it, you have to make it overseas. You don't make it in Australia. You make it overseas. Like, I see, especially in the band space, like lots of bands, they get stuck on this touring cycle and they're doing well. Like they're making it livable, but it's probably not, music's not their only income at that point.
Yeah.
They're probably still hustling a whole bunch of other shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I think on a band level, it's fucking hard because you're paying probably 3 to 5, maybe more members plus crew and all that. Where if you're a rapper or a duo or something, it's a lot easier. You know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
I think, that's something I've seen in the music space is like, you're getting a lot more of the solo artists or the duos because of the affordability sake.
Yeah.
Like it just, and now because you can just fucking pump in whatever sounds you need.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a game changer for, it's saturated, but it also means that, you know,
you can do it.
Yeah.
That's it. I've had good chats with Kyle from No One Network. He's an interesting dude, like what he's managed to achieve of like trying to bring like street culture and stuff to hip hop and especially out of Brisbane and trying to provide a space for artists to come. I thought that was really cool. And I'm like wanting to see more of that in music because I think it's like there are probably a lot of people that are really fucking talented that just don't get exposure at all.
Yeah, that's
like,
a lot.
They might not even know people.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered, like, to be a musician, like, you have to know other musicians, other producers, other people that can kind of build you on your way. You know, I do business sort of stuff, so me meeting business people helps.
Yeah.
But, like, for you guys, it's meeting the right people in that music space.
Yeah,
you know, like, just an artist can completely change something for you where you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't know that. Like,
It's crazy.
So just seeing that there's spaces like that being created, I think is, like, really nice. Like people are taking that initiative and there is a DIY ethic about, you know, a lot of this and that's coming through. So
yeah,
I think Australian hip hop and just Australian music is rising, but fuck me, it seems like it's a bit of a decline and then it'll probably go up. And you know,
I think again with the pandemic era, there's going to be a big upswing of arts once we get out of this whole, everyone's gone through it, so there's going to be so much stuff for people want to create and express. So I feel like that is going to be a booming period, just like jazz and swing in that, like the early 30s after the fucking Great Depression. Then like similar thing is going
to
happen.
Something needs to flip, but the problem is a bit of money needs to go to the younger people. Like I think young people in the country at the moment, fuck, they're struggling. Like I mean the whole country's struggling, but I mean imagine being 18 to 23 years old
and just like, being like, yeah, this is a shit show you just walked into, like as an adult, like a fresh adult, like
like it was rough for us, but like nowhere near as rough for them. Like, oh, cool, you got this job for $30 an hour. That's not bad. We started at like 22. Oh, but your steak now costs you $55 a kilo?
Yeah, the food being fucking ridiculous. Like, without any pay increases, that's pretty insane.
Nothing's changed.
Like, that's corrupt as fuck. Like, it's just business. Like, no, that's intentionally fucked up.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think, you know, there's a lot of struggle that's going to exist there, and I guess that art will come through. But how is that art going to get supported? I don't know.
That's the power of the internet, I guess, now. Is like literally with a good camera phone, an editing app, you can fucking do music, you can do paintings, you can get your art out. So again, while again, heavy saturation, you can still get it out. It's just, the jungle of the fucking internet and all the advertising and all the crazy shit and the algorithm and all that fuckery.
That's it.
Do you have like a favorite like smoke spot?
Favorite smoke spot. Wherever my missus is, I'm pretty happy. Like, not to be
very
too
sweet.
It's just like when I sesh with her, like all of my I don't know. It's like, oh, here are all my stresses. And it's like, oh, and I can just, it's my mirror reflection straight away. And it's like, I can bounce off her and it just lets me go. Like, it really lets me connect back to myself, I suppose. But if we're thinking like a physical place, anywhere with a view.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's anywhere with a view where you've got something to really, really look at. I'm trying to think of something that like really hit me. Like I really liked smoking up on the Goldie. I think it's, what beach is that? I think it's Miami. It's like Miami Beach or Main Beach. There's like a thing you can walk up and there's just benches and shit. And it just looks down the entire Goldie.
Yeah.
And you can see like surface, broad beach, and you see the entire coast. And the day I had this joint, it was just no clouds, nothing crystal clear. You could see just down everything. And then just the water there, that was fucking lush. Like that was
nature is definitely, it's complimentary. Like,
For you.
There's a place, Kings Park in WA, that just, has a great seat and a view of the city, like a big uphill looking down, like day or night. It just looks fucking cool.
Good. There's a good spot actually out West End where you are that I've been wanting to go to. It's, I don't know if you know Annerley Road, and then there's the West End Road. It converges here. Just here, there's like this fucking lookout where there's like a hut.
Okay.
You can see the city and it's just on top of West End. Just before you start going down.
Is it like open to public? Like, or is it someone's?
Okay. It's like, there's apartments and shit around, but there's just like a gazebo. And I'm like, it's just up there. I'm like, man, there's a lot of people here, but I'd just fucking smoke up there.
I'll be sussing that for sure.
That's got to be a good little spot. The Kangaroo Point cliffs are good too, but there's always a lot of people there.
True.
Occasionally cops and things, but
Yeah, that's how, like, a good smoke spot is where you're undisturbed. So if you're away and you have that, so the beach view, again, any sunsets are fucking awesome as well.
Yeah, always. Through here, actually, I get a beautiful sunset that smashes through the window, depending time of year. And fucking this little thing, it's quite an afternoon where the fucking vapes are up and you're seeing it gets cloudy.
Oh, yeah, the collaboration of smoking, that's so fucking... Again, that's nature doing its own art, you know? Yeah. Like,
you're just staring at the fucking little wisps and you're like, oh, shit, that looks good. Good.
It's a good shot. Like, it's literally, you could have that as a stop motion video for beats and shit. Like,
What show did you get too high at that you performed at?
Well, okay, there's there's been a couple, and then you learn. It's just like you don't be too drunk for a show. You don't want to be too high because I feel like it could be different from playing instruments. If you're something, you can just be really baked and just fucking feel it. But with rapping and like enunciation, and you have cotton mouth. And it's just, you add all those and you move around. It's like super cotton mouth the entire set. So you're just like, you got to kind of wet it. And you're just also fucking high as shit. So there was we did a Chronic Fest for Fringe Festival, which again was like an all weed lineup. And before I did my set, there was about 7 or 8 of us. And we're just all chain passing joints, blunts, like all kinds of stuff. We probably had to be maybe 13 or so joints or different ones in between. High as shit, do it. Like Chronic Fest was fine because it's like, it's our show. So there's no stress. Like, we're all high, cool. Then we went in an Uber to Comedians versus Rappers, which is a show that's like a battle show between rappers and comedians. So it's like a big crowd and it's like roast battles and freestyle
and
shit.
So the comedian just like talking shit and the rappers having a rap back at
him. Yeah, we have like games where it's like some will favor the comedians, some will favor the rappers. And then the end, it's an on-beat like rap battle against each other.
Yeah.
But I remember getting there and I'm like, fuck. And one of the main comedians looked at me. He's like, dude, like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fucking like so high. And like a bunch of the rappers who were at Chronic Fest were also high. So it's like, we got on and as soon as I started rapping my first bit, I'm like, I instantly blanked out and I'm like, fuck. But thankfully I can like freestyle. So I was covering my ass, but I'm like, if I'm already fumbling at the very, very start, this is fucked.
Yeah.
And then, we heard from someone else, like a mate who was sitting in the crowd. The people next to him were going, oh, like the rappers all look really high. So it's like, it would have been a line of us just like, because again, we were like chain smoking like, I'm never doing this again for like, where you go to battle and you got to be improv, like being super baked is it's not an enhancement at all. Hey, no, it's just, yeah.
No, you not can't. Good. Light bake, maybe.
Yeah, light bake is cool, but it's like when you're zooted, it's just like, I've made a mistake and like, I'm just going to get through this. Like,
when you've literally just got the crickets going in the head, you're like...
Yeah, you got to be on. They're all looking at you. It's like, oh, am I really high? They're all looking. It's like, they are. Yeah. You got to say something. Yeah. Like, fuck. Like,
when I did the review for this fucking thing, like, I hit that plus the ceramic one after another, and just tried to show how many hits. I got fucking ripped on it. And then I'm just like... yep. Like, trying to think, what do I say? What do I do? Like, completely forgot. It's,
yeah.
And then I remember I recorded one video, and then I was like, fuck it, I'll record one more right after. And I did a quick one off the top. But like, man, that next video, I managed to get it out, but my eyes, you couldn't fucking see it. Like, yeah. I was just so done. And I'm like, oh, these weed videos, you can only really do one.
Well, it's like, I'd rather like wait till just after and then smoke heaps. And then it's like, you can reflect on the performance. It's like,
that makes sense.
It's like, just hold off. And then as soon as you're done, you're like, fuck yeah.
But yeah, the reward.
Yeah. But then, you know, other shit happens and people are like, you want to smoke? Like, yeah fuck it. Right, like,
Friend rolls around. Ah, fuck yeah. Man, how are you, man? Like, yeah, I'm all right.
That's why like a weed festival would be good, because everyone's under the impression of, oh,
we all know high. We're a bit dumb.
We're all high. It's cool. It's like, that's why I like performing in Nimbin, because everyone's just like, they're baked. They, yeah.
Yeah, they understand what to expect.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person you reckon you've smoked with?
I mean, did you ever like watch pro wrestling like back in right. the day? Yeah. Yeah,
wrestling is still my identity.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, well, I smoked with RVD.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So that's like, for me, that's like probably Cypress Hill, Tommy Chong, RVD. Yeah, so he was playing at a local wrestling show in Perth. And like, me and my mate Ash, who were big wrestling fans, were like, oh, we have to fucking go. Like, and we're like, maybe we can smoke with RVD. Like, we'll bring some weed. Like, we can make this happen, you know. And just being fucking stoners, we were going late. We missed our train. Fucking caught another train. As we got there late, like, there was only one person outside who was stretching, and it was RVD. And I was just like, holy shit, like, no one's around. Just before his match, sort of went up like, oh, hey, man, would you be down to smoke after? He's like, yeah, sure, dude. Like, just fucking fully stretched out, cool as fuck. And we're like, did it. So we did the match, came back out, smoked a joint. And yeah, it was insane. So like, when we were first smoking, like 18, 19, our kayfabe for weed would be Robbie V. And like, if it's good weed, it's like, oh, this is five star. Robbie V. This is fucking Frog Splash.
Five
Frog. Yeah. So, all the people that would do weed with us, and like, even if they didn't watch wrestling, they knew, oh, Robbie V, RVD. Yeah. So I got to tell RVD that story. He's like, oh, that's cool, man. I was like, holy shit, RVD knows. Like, he was our kayfabe, and just to smoke with him, man, that was cool as fuck.
That is so good, Carl.
Yeah, shout out to RVD. So it was like, yeah.
That's a dream, bro. Like, RVD is one of my all-time favorites. Yeah,
especially for cannabis as well. He flew it in, like, fucking 90s. Doesn't give a fuck. He got caught as WWE champion.
Again and again.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't get, like, because he represents the good. Like, that's, people like RVD, Redman, fucking Tommy Chong. They've been representing cannabis for decades and just still killing it. And it's like, I think because they're leading healthy, like, they're chasing their passion. They're doing their thing, like.
Now, I'll never forget that shot of RVD where he's doing the splits on the chairs and he's just got like a bowl of buds.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think it's Photoshop, but it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, RVD's the man.
Man, pro wrestling is like ingrained within my friendship group and all that. Like, we were big fans. Now we watch a little less. We kind of only watch the big ones or if there's some interesting happening.
Yeah.
AEW... catch it here and there.
Yeah, AEW has some good stuff.
It's like good, fuck, there's just too much content to watch nowadays. Like, especially with the wrestling, the WWE, it's like fucking, I think it's like 5 to 7 hours a week.
Yeah, I can't keep up with it. Like, I love like Attitude Era, like WCW, WWF, like 97 to 99 is just a banger period. Still holds up. Like,
for me, I really like the like 2000 to like 2006.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, 2001 was probably peak year.
Peak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. WrestleMania 17.
Best when they bought WCW and they brought it in, the invasion.
And they like, flubbed it. They flubbed the biggest angle of all time. And all, yeah, it's just like.
But at the same time, it was such a good time. Like, you know, like as a wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. But I can't believe they fucking jobbed out DDP like that. And like, if they just waited, if they waited even a year, they would have had NWO, like Goldberg, Rey Mysterio, like all these, it would have been
massive,
insane.
And then even now I think wrestling has a good opportunity to go actually into a golden era.
Definitely.
People have been talking about it because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike. They're not connected to pro wrestling. So they're thinking a lot of celebrities are going to jump to pro wrestling just to get appearances.
That makes sense.
And then fucking whenever they do that, that's when pro wrestling starts to go on the uptick again. And there's been some good shit recently. With, like, I've really enjoyed the Logan Paul stuff, the Dominic Mysterio, the fucking Roman Reigns bloodline storyline. It's good storytelling. Like, fucking finally. But, you know, we'll see. Like, Triple H apparently, like, lost a lot of what he was going to be doing. And now Vince is back. And you're like, fucking, what's going on here?
It seems like, wrestling's in, like, a pretty healthy spot because it's got a few companies. Even Australian wrestling. I've noticed so many feds on the East Coast. There's
so much shit going on.
Yeah.
I've been dogged by a few of the promoters around here, though, that kind of shit me. Went to a show. You pay, like, $40 and there was no seats. And everyone's just standing there. And you can't see the fucking thing because there's no... And you're like, the fuck is this? We're... 30 years old, cunt. We've got bad backs. Like, things like that. And you're like, how could I give money to that? And then there used to be an incredible wrestling promotion here. And like all the guys that still do it have other ones and they're still around. But there used to be one at the New Globe Theater. You ever play there?
No.
Fuck. They tore that down, unfortunately. But it was a sick place. It was in the valley, really close to the 7-Eleven and train. And you'd go there and you'd go downstairs and there was a theater on one side and then like a stage on the other, like two different kind of things. And then the bar was out there, but the theater is where they did the wrestling. So you were like in a cinema, like cinema style seating. And then there was a wrestling ring and it was the Grindhouse and it was R18. So like, and there was a burlesque show in between. Nice.
That's my kind of shit.
Fuck, man. They were insane. The crowd hype and like the chants and everything was insane. Like
ECW style, like an old and actual adult rabid fucking wrestling.
Fucking fans. Yeah. Oh man. And there was one cunt, I can't even remember what his actual name was. It changed after this night. He came out like a silver Rey Mysterio looking fuck mask and silver pants and shit. We didn't know what his name was. So we all started chanting silver cunt.
Yeah.
Silver cunt, silver cunt. Anyway, he's now just known as Silver Cunt. We changed his fucking name.
Yeah, all the power of wrestling, the interactive with the fans, a catchphrase, something gets over. Like, that's...
There was a whole storyline around Rufio's sister. We were all wanting to bang her. All the wrestlers were. There was some incredible stuff. Like, that was like peak wrestling for me locally.
Yeah.
But when New Globe shut down, they kept going for a little bit and then it kind of dissolved. But there's a few other promotions around. Like, there's like, I think... 4 or 5 going in Queensland at the moment.
Yeah, which is just like, that's more like WA has a bunch, like Melbourne has a bunch, like Buddy Matthews is champion of like a Melbourne promotion, obviously Rhea Ripley and fucking WWE from Adelaide. And
Bloody, do you know Toni Storm?
Yeah,
fucking, I saw her wrestle when she was 15, cunt.
That's crazy.
15. Shit. I saw her win the Junkyard Bash, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking, she used to date one of the wrestlers here. Fuck, what was his name? He was a fucking sick cunt. Turbo Wolf. But he has another fucking name. But that dude, they used to date. And then when she went to the NXT and the WWE and shit, bloody people were giving him shit. She left you. She left me. And he got fucking mad on stage. Like fucking like.
Yeah. Oh, it hurt. It'd sting. Like, it
was savage, bro. Like there was some shit. I don't know. But yeah, wrestling is definitely, I think because of the NXT stuff, it's like there's a chance we can make it. Like
pandemic era as well. Like wrestling thrived during that. Like I probably was like not watching wrestling for a bunch of years. I was just burnt out from WWE and stuff. And
it
then
was crap for a long time.
Yeah. Then AEW came along. It kind of reminded me of WCW. And then I was kind of like just getting back in. Yeah. Bloodline storylines, like good, like LA Knight over as fuck, like an Attitude Era kind of throwback.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like wrestling, it's good stuff. For me, I think wrestling really helped me get into my head of like a character, to understand a character of like being a little over the top just to get people excited. And I think that's kind of when I think about like how I like to play with social media, it's kind of through a wrestling persona.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really interesting to think about like wrestling as an art form, because I think that's like had such an impression. I'm sure it has for you as well.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, it's crazy. It's as an art form, it's everything. Like it's like visual, it's promos, it's fucking costume, entrance music, moveset, and then there's no off season, so you're constantly developing the character and you can get picked up in a fed and what gets over, what's gotten over now stale. Like there's definitely a lot of crossovers to living, you know?
That's
what's attractive about wrestling. Like it attracts fucking crazy people as well. You gotta be a crazy person to pursue that, you know? Like
that's it. Oh man, for me, one of fucking top 5 saddest days of my life. Absolutely, when Eddie Guerrero died.
Yeah.
That cut me like, to this day, I'm just like, nah, that ruined me as a child. I think that was where my like childhood snapped a little bit.
Fuck.
Yeah, I had such an attachment to that.
Yeah, I remember I used to edit music videos, like wrestling videos in school. And when Eddie died, I remember cutting up for that. I was meant to study for my economics exam.
Yeah.
I just remember my parents being pissed, like, and I'm like, guys, like Eddie Guerrero died. It's like, I got to make this now. It's like, dude, the exam's in like a couple of days.
Nah,
it's
like, Eddie, respect.
Yeah, yeah. Because he should have kept going. Like him, Bret Hart, like Kurt Angle, there was a bunch of dudes who had more years left in the tank.
Oh, fuck yeah, so many. Man, Kurt Angle's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's like straight up there for me. Like, what are your top five if you can think of them?
Fuck. I mean, it's hard. Like, I'd probably have to do like a top 10 because I mean, there's so many, you know, like...
Yeah. Five is a tough one, but like, I've cracked my five a few times and I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, when you go five, like...
I'll tell you mine. At number one probably is going to be Chris Jericho.
Yep.
I fucking love the man. How many times he's reinvented himself. The fact that he does music, I fucking love it. That he did Dancing with the Stars. I love his mic work. Number two, we're probably going Shawn Michaels. Like, he's just so fucking good. Like, such an entertainer, such great matches. Mm. Three, we're probably going Kurt Angle. Yeah, Kurt Angle. Four, we're going Stone Cold. And five, we're going Eddie.
Yeah, shit. That's a banger. That's an invasion 5-on-5.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I guess like I couldn't, because there's too many different eras, and then that's where it's hard.
Like, I'm forgetting Undertaker.
Yeah, like, see, I'd probably have like in no order, maybe Undertaker, Bret Hart, Mick Foley, Jericho, and either Sting, because Sting in fucking WCW was like
Sting.
Yeah. In fact, his AEW run has been fucking awesome. Like, sending him out on a good thing. But other fifth, like, fuck. Yeah, probably, like, Kurt Angle would probably have to make that. Because he was so good.
Like, one, in-ring, but on the mic, just unbelievable
as
moments.
As heel, as face, as a goof, as a fucking leader. Like
as the manager, Angle. Like... Yeah, yeah. He was just such a character.
Him in TNA as well was actually good. And I didn't really watch TNA much.
I didn't watch much of it, but yeah.
So just saw like the legends there with Booker T and fucking,
Oh man, five time, like.
Yeah. Do you reckon Booker T smokes? Like there's a few wrestlers, like Bret Hart used to smoke, which is fucking cool. Jim Ross like smokes fucking heaps. Like,
really? I didn't know
daily
that.
Smoker. Yeah, yeah. Oh, how crazy is that? It makes JR all his calls. He was like,
blazed.
Yeah. So not just like a new, like JR's been smoking. Yeah, how much is just like... You thought he was like good Southern boy. I'm straight. I don't smoke.
I didn't know that.
But he's making decisions by God, Stone Cold. Like, yeah, baked as fuck. How cool does that make him? You know, like, as if he wasn't already a legend. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'll tell you one of my like big childhood dreams. Like when I was like 18, me and my buddy, actually it was 16, 17, Anthony and I, we were like committed to become wrestlers. We wanted to become wrestlers. We were saying that in school. We were like, fucking, let's do it. Let's move to the US and become fucking wrestlers. So do you know what our plan was? We were going to get shitty jobs and we were going to go move to Texas and we were going to go to Booker T's fucking wrestling academy. We planned all this shit. We never did it.
Yeah.
Never did it. Don't know why. It just fizzled out. It was just a momentary dream. But like we were like fucking planning for months and we're like, something doesn't feel right. We're not really, we could probably do wrestling here, but we don't. So let's not just go over there.
Yeah, to Texas. Infinitely harder.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Booker T, I could see him being a smoker, but it's weird because he's in Texas. So
and they're pretty staunch against it.
Though Rogan's there now. So
yeah, true. Well, Randy Orton, big smoker. Like, how crazy is that?
Really?
Yeah. Big truffer. Like, he's the one who he paid the maximum amount of fines for cannabis. Like, he paid up front, whether it was like 40 grand's worth of fine just so we could smoke. And he's like, I'm always going to pop for cannabis. Like, yeah. Which, again, you don't think Randy Orton smokes, but Jim Ross.
I could see Randy as a smoker, though.
Yeah.
Now when I, like, look at him, I can see him as a smoker. Oh, like, he's got that kind of, like...
Yeah, you exactly. Know? So him and Matt Riddle, like Matt Riddle's fucking awesome.
Obviously.
And again, like he's like RVD 2.0. Like he reminds me of like Kurt Angle and RVD.
Yeah.
You know, that's their son.
I love CM Punk, but the fact that he's not a smoker lets me down a lot.
Or the ego of like, like Darby Allin, same thing. I'm like, I don't do drugs. I'm like, but you chase. Like Darby chases insane stunts. I'm like, you're still chasing that adrenaline. Like
you're looking for it somewhere.
I've noticed, a lot of straight edge people are either like super sexual or super like extreme. Like they're like, I'll do fucking like
anything.
I'm like, you could just smoke some weed and just chill out. It's all good. Yeah. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised with Dean Ambrose. Like he seems chill.
He's like, he was on a boost for a while. I think, he might be one of those ones who are like, I just drink, don't smoke. And it would be like, look, dude, just smoke. Like, yeah, just give this. Am I correct you out of it? Like,
fucking my editor, his name's Dan. He's in the Philippines. He's gonna love this. He loves wrestling as much as we do.
Oh, so. Yeah, yeah, it's a classic art form, man. Yeah. Like, I love watching even like 80s wrestling. They're all it's just the raw, like, juiced up fucking coked era, and it's like amazing because they're all just doing promos and like,
yeah.
But they're crazy characters. Like, to be a performer and just tour on the road with all these random fucking dudes and like, yeah, I'll see you tonight. Let's do this. Like,
yeah,
that's a crazy fucking art form, you know? Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous. It's I just, yeah, when people are like, you know, it's fake. You're like, do you know how much they do though? Like,
yeah, like, it's insane.
Oh, that UFC fighter that fights three times a year. He's doing it tough, isn't he? Like, sure, yeah. He gets his head kicked in for one night. But then recovering for 3 months, you know?
Oh, like, both definitely, like, fucked up. Like, to be a martial, to pursue MMA or pursue wrestling, like...
You're both crazy, but, like, you talk to any of the MMA guys, they're like, nah, the wrestling guys, like, they know.
Being down.
You know, like, they'll talk about, you know, not obviously the hits, but in terms of the actual, like, endurance and the actual stamina, the wrestlers have it fucking way harder.
Well, it's just, I think, performing and then driving hundreds of miles or kilometers or a plane and then again and then again. And, you still got to work out. Oh, that fucking shoulder, keep going. Like,
yeah, fucking wrestling three, brutal. Four nights a week.
I mean, there's a bunch of that with cannabis. Like, so I think Bret Hart said in the mid-90s when WWF would test for cannabis, a bunch of people got onto the pills, like Brian Pillman and all those. So, like, the pill culture was a result of not being able to smoke. And a bunch of wrestlers who all, you know, the dark side of the ring type stuff, if they use cannabis, they would still be here, as opposed to the booze and fucking somas. Like,
so you're telling me the Chris Benoit tragedy could have been prevented with a bit of legal weed?
Like, I don't know. I reckon Chris was probably like a fitness freak type who didn't really go out and drink much, but like, I think that was the concussions that really fucked him. Like,
he was a painkiller dude though.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, shit. Heavy painkillers.
Yeah, see, again, I was like, wait, if you just got baked, like, just like rabbit Wolverine, just get fucking... Like,
I reckon be rabbit then. Yeah. It'd be the chill Wolverine. True.
Yeah.
Chillerine.
Which would have been fucking good, but Chilverine. Yeah, so many wrestlers.
Chilverine. Chilverine?
Oh, yeah.
Could we should make a shirt or something. Chilverine.
And the claws is for the fucking flower, like, chops it up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Chilverine.
Fuck yeah.
Wrestling is definitely iconic. I hope the fab audience appreciates a bit of the wrestling talk. I don't get to talk wrestling too often.
Well, the Godfather as well. He's a big chuffer. Like, which again is like, as a kid in the Attitude Era, you wouldn't
have a clue.
He's like, you know, light a fatty for this pimp daddy. I'm like, I didn't realize he's like literally saying, smoke weed, like get a blunt. Like, as a kid, I'm like, oh, he's a pimp. But
you'd probably have the Hardys.
Yeah, Jeff, right? Definitely.
Jeff, yeah. Like, there's not a chance. Even Matt, though, I would say. Like,
I probably partook.
I wouldn't even think the Dudleys. The Dudleys seem like chuffers.
It's hard. Like, I could picture. Because I guess, you know, he's like Bully Ray and TNA. I could just picture him being like, no, I don't touch that shit. Like,
oh, true. Yeah.
Be more like a bully. Like, I just drink beer. Like, fucking. But yeah, it'd be good to know which, like, wrestlers who do. Like, Chris Masters definitely does. Like, Chris Masters and fucking RVD. Yeah, it'd be good to know who else.
To put out, like, a big survey, like, the great wrestler pot study of 2023.
Yeah, oh, fuck. Carlito smokes.
Carlito, He's back, though. I think he's like.
Yeah,
which is cool. Because he kind of just vanished, and it was like he was a character that kind of picked up a little bit and then just, I don't know, just gone.
He got a massive pop at fucking
Rumble?
Puerto Rico.
That was cool.
And Jack was in like his, the best shape. So with wrestling, it's weird. It's like they hit their prime like late 30s, early 40s, it seems like. Not like other sports.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, it's where they've had enough time to actually develop everything else. Because it's like, it's not just about the wrestling. It's about like the mic work and the story that gets told. Like, you can only get that from so many years.
Yeah.
But there are some wrestlers that you're like, fuck, they've been insane since get-go. Randy. Like, Randy from day dot was fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Darby's been good. I mean, even like Hook, like Taz's kid, like... Yeah, there's a few like upcomers I'm like, I can see potential.
Yeah. I do like the Dominic stuff, but fuck me, he's not that good at wrestling. But he's very perfect
for him because he's like, he's still technically green. Like, he's got years ahead. So him just being this like Eddie Guerrero type, like slimy heel, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I love the slimy heel. It just needs to exist. It's good. It's been a long time since I felt like heels were even around. Like, a lot of the time you're like, they're kind of a bad guy because they cheated to win, but you didn't really hate him or anything. Yeah. They were just like...
Oh, angry.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it's it is refreshing to see wrestling slowly just getting there.
Yeah, or it comes in waves. Like, again, like 1995 sucked for WWE WCW. So it was like 2015 or whatever. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, for me, it was like 2007, 8, basically when it went to the PG era. Like, that era was just dog shit. The only storyline that was any good was like Jerry's show and the CM Punk leaving with the belt.
Yeah, Punk was cool. Yeah, yeah, but like, by then I was just tuning out because I was like, this isn't for me anymore. Like, it's for the family. It's like,
yeah, like I still appreciated like everything that went into it, but man, the wrestling got so dry and boring. But that CM Punk storyline, like, I remember they got me right back into wrestling for a short little while, and then it teetered off again, and like, the only times I'd watch wrestling when CM Punk was being mentioned again, like, it was like, oh, he's wrestling The Undertaker. Okay, I'll watch that one. And then I've now watched like, or listened to casts with him talking about that time. And he's like, man, that was the most fucked. Like, he didn't want to wrestle Taker or any of that. And it just couldn't just get that out
and depressed. So, to have that, to be in that spot, but not be used correctly. Even though, he, that was wicked, but.
But like, and it's like, I know full well I was tuning in because of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to hear that, like, they were like, nah, don't believe in him. I'm like, you lost me. Like, you literally lost me.
So many fans. Like, he was the highest selling merch and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. I merch is really interesting. Like, how do you think about merch as like now having to be an artist's main form of revenue? Like,
yeah, that like, literally is. But it's like, I think people like to support something that they believe in. And with music, it's just you pretty much you can just download it or stream it like we did with Napster. So merch is like, yeah, people want to wear shit. People want to wear like shirts and hoodies. So
yeah,
it's just what you do as an artist to supplement. Makes
sense. See, I've always like battled with the grip of like music now being, let's not call it free, but you know, streamable and free. It's like, I do believe like it should be paid for, but then at the same time, I kind of go, well, nah, like I don't know. It just doesn't make sense, obviously, right? You'd have just so much less exposure if artists were having to be paid for their music, like for you to listen to it. Because what I kind of thought about was, and I don't have too much data, but I did a little bit of digging on this a few years back. Back before like your LimeWire, Napster and all of that, artists didn't tour nearly as often as they have to now. So like, I kind of see that as like a really, really big win as the, for the fan and the consumer. Rough on the artist, right? Like, touring is fucking, it's not easy. But at the same time, as a fan, you kind of want to see the artist. That's where the value is, because it's like,
well, in person is different. So.
I'm going there for the energy. Like, I go to shows because it's almost biblical to me. It's a religious experience, right? I'm around people that like what I like and all that sort of stuff. So I think it increased touring, which is good for the end consumer, kind of rougher on the artist, but then, and it turned the artist's job a little more into like a job, I suppose. You know, before you were kind of more like celebrity, you just, you're paid for your likeness more than anything. Now you're paid for the work. So I'm like, I don't know, like,
it'd definitely be better to create more. Like, it's an independent platform, but that means, yeah, you have to do every step, which can be like, back in the day, it would be you just do a couple things and just create. But yeah, I guess it's the era we're in, you know, like.
But even creating is interesting now, right? You now need to create more than ever.
Yeah.
Before, fucking artists, like, I don't know, bands or just whoever would take 4 to 6 years between albums sometimes, you know? Like, I think I felt like 4 was often the average, like 3-4.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, they should be due for an album. Maybe they'll release it on the 4th or the 5th year.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you're probably dropping an album every year. Like,
yeah, you, most, your expectations
most
to
artists
drop.
And bands.
Yeah.
If it's not an album, it's probably 2 EPs or something like that. And it's like, because otherwise you're not relevant anymore. You have to stay in that cycle. And it's like, do you think that completely hampers creativity because you're not, you're forced to pump it out a little quicker?
Yeah, it definitely, it's like, it's not good for the creative process to constantly, to favor basically an algorithm as opposed to, oh, we have something we want to create and share. It's like, you got to create something. Oh, use this. Like, it forces or it persuades the art to be something. And I think it's not like, some people can really fucking do it and bang it, it's cool. But certain styles, it takes fucking long. Like, it's a painstaking process to get to it. And I think that's probably worth, I'd rather something that's quality that sticks around than having to constantly pump out stuff that's just, oh, yep, there's a little flicker and then it's back down again.
It's tricky because it's, how do you keep attention while being able to create those bigger pieces?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's something that is
draining as fuck. It's just, it's one of those things. It's got to be done. But Yeah, just different avenues.
Because even like thinking about like how long albums and stuff used to take to make back in the day, like when you look at like the big artists, I remember like I watched the, I'm such a Blink-182 fan, like I'm absurd. I've watched every piece of content that they've probably ever put out, like docos, interviews and stuff. They were making the self-titled album. They spent like 4 months in a house together just fucking working on that thing. And it is a bit of a masterpiece in terms of their discography.
Yeah.
And then I know, I don't know if it was the new album, one of their newer albums. I can't remember. And they were like, they said they did it in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I see that with like a heap of like, bands now. Like you only need to book in maybe like 3 to 4 or 5 weeks studio time and you're good.
Yeah,
you know, like, and then it, there's still time to make it, you know, mixing, mastering, all of that. But like, they used to record for months at a time. Yeah, and now it's that long. And I'm like, you can't be getting the same or even close to the same quality of anything. Even though you've got probably new tools, things that make that all that recording process easier and stuff. I just can't imagine that being better than the other way, because you're just experimenting more, you're trying
exactly, you got more time to process and sit on ideas and mull it over. Like, yeah, I think that's the better way to do it.
Yeah,
it's just not favored.
It's like, just not favored. Yeah, so I don't know. I really, it's interesting though, the artists that can fucking churn and produce quality, I guess they're fucking flying,
they're on the way. Yeah,
you know, there's some like fucking Logic and Flume, right? Like those guys, they produce a lot. King Gizzard, actually, do you listen to King Gizzard at all?
I know of them. Yeah
fucking like 5 albums in a year. Like what the fuck, for a rock band, that's you know, like unheard of really. And it's like, but people are, there are some talents I guess that can produce like that, but man, it must be exhausting.
It must be exhausting. It's just weird because there is no, it's not like, okay, like a school semester, you have to get this out for September. It's like with the music, it's never really finished. There's no right answer. You just decide, I gotta,
I'm over this, it's time.
It's like, I gotta release it. Like it never gets finished. Like
No, I think that's with like a lot of things. You know, if you're making a video, you're doing a documentary or anything, it's like you can always keep adding a little more and polishing.
Yeah.
It's like, when the fuck do you let it go? I think that's, it's a challenging thing, I guess, like to learn how to let go of things. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Part of it's just letting it, and it's not going to be perfect. And that's part of the deal.
Next try. In terms of what's coming up next for you.
Yep.
Anything coming up?
Yeah, so there's like an after party for a 420 event.
Oh, someone someone in this room might be hosting that one.
Yeah So that's August 13th, and then we're going to Nambour August 20th for Ground Z, which is like an album launch. We'll be going as Coneheads with East Coast Alien. So that'll be good on the sunny coast. And then Swifty McVeigh and Mac Lethal are coming to Australia, like a joint tour. And East Coast Alien and myself will be playing there September 17th, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
It'll be cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Working on EP. EP comes out in spring.
Nice.
But no select date, because we'll wait till it's fucking finished when it's recording. Ready. Yeah. That's what I learned as well. You gotta, once it's actually done.
Any new videos coming?
Yeah, for sure. A few music videos will come August, September, October, November. We'll be doing like one a month.
Okay, that's cool.
And that'll just lead up to the EP.
Yeah. I popped your tunes on the other day. I was like, fucking, I was like, I like this. The only thing for me was, because you've got like EPs and things, it's hard to like find everything.
So I should probably make a playlist.
Make a playlist, like, bro, because of your bangers. I loved Amateur Rapper.
Oh yeah,
that really hit, because I was Dickie. Like, it was very similar to Little Dicky. And that, but also that, I'm like, it's not that I'm a rapper, but it's like, you know, you always feel amateur to whatever you're doing. And I was like, I think it's pretty relatable for a lot of people. It's like, who are dreaming of something bigger anyway.
Yeah.
That was a banger. I'm going blank on a few others. There's a few, the Idiocracy one. Love that. That was sick.
Yeah.
There's a few other tracks. I loved it. I popped it on and I left it on for like 4 or 5 hours while I was gaming. And my missus was like, could you change it? It's been like 4 hours. And I'm like, I guess. Like,
nice.
So for me, when I consume music, I just let it roll till I just keep hearing it. And then I'm like, I don't know what fucking track it was, but it was good. And then occasionally I'll just save them as I go.
Yeah, that's worth. When you find something good, just
That's it. Good stuff. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming to play the after party when that happens. Yeah. So that should be fun. Hopefully there'll be some more fab Bluntfield content coming soon where we'll figure out some other cool collaborations. I'm sure we can figure out some things.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Stay high, everyone. Be safe.
Be very safe.
Much love.
Thank you.